It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss emerging issues in open government as some police departments use a law designed to shield the identity of crime victims, applying it to hide the names of officers who were involved in shootings. Be part of this discussion on access to public information. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bill Leaders is an investigative journalist and president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. Bill, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good to be here.
Good morning. Starting with the Oshkosh Police Department withholding the name of an officer who shot and wounded a man in June as its legal justification. Murphy's Law, right? The agency citing a recent amendment to the state constitution known as Murphy's Law. What is your reaction to the reasoning for withholding the name of an officer?
Well, I think it's an incorrect and actually an abusive interpretation of the Murphy's Law constitutional amendment to say that the names of victims can never be disclosed. And including cases where the victims, in this case, are the police officers who shot a suspect. He apparently or allegedly pointed a weapon at them in a suicidal moment, and they are considered victims by this interpretation of Murphy's Law. And so the name of the officer who shot them and some of the other officers who were involved in this situation have not been publicly disclosed. This is troubling. I don't think it's what Murphy's Law was intended to do. It's not the first time that Murphy's Law has been applied on behalf of victims in a way that we found questionable and objectionable. It probably won't be the last.
So having a gun pointed at officers or an officer is justification for Murphy's Law protection, while the person who an officer shot, their name is published.
Yes, the name of the individual who was shot by Oshkosh police was made public, and the names of the officers were not.
Let's step back to look at Murphy's Law in 2020. It was touted to voters as a constitutional amendment to protect the privacy of crime victims. In Wisconsin and several other states, how is Murphy's Law being used to limit public transparency in police shootings?
Well, this story was done by Wisconsin Watch. By Jacob Resnick of Wisconsin Watch just last week. He wrote about the Oshkosh case, and he wrote about other states in which this issue has come up. In Columbus, Ohio, they've also cited Murphy's Law, which passed in that state as a constitutional amendment, as a reason not to disclose the names of officers who are involved in shootings because they're victims. And there are other states and cities that have refused to release this information of the names of officers who were involved in shootings for other reasons, not just Murphy's Law, but for other justifications. They say that these names are not going to be released. Sometimes they're not released immediately, but they're released eventually. And the article in Wisconsin Watch talks about a number of situations in Wisconsin in which the names of officers have either been promptly released or never released or released right away.
The State Justice Department in 2021 issued an advisory outlining how authorities should balance requests for government records with the strengthened privacy requirements for crime victims. Does that advisory help clarify what can be released to the public?
Well, it's a very detailed document. It's several pages long, and it gives some hypothetical scenarios and gives some advice. But ultimately, what the Department of Justice advisory says about Murphy's Law is that each situation needs to be considered individually, that the facts of the situation have to be taken into account on a one-by-one basis. So every time it comes up, they have to apply an analysis. This decision was prompted by some really deep confusion about what the law was supposed to do. There was a sheriff in Dodge County who was withholding the names of businesses that were victims of crime. So I'll give you the hypothetical. Say a Target store is robbed. The police report would not release the name of the store that was the victim of the robbery because it was a victim. That was the way Murphy's Law was being interpreted in that case. And the Justice Department tried to bring a little bit of sanity and perspective to these analysis, but it still is up to police departments to apply a balance each and every time this comes up and decide whether a name will be released. I'll tell you this, for myself, If somebody shoots me, I want my name in the paper. I don't want that privacy protection. I don't want the names of victims to be routinely and automatically withheld, and especially in situations where victims are officers of the law and are expected to have a higher level of public accountability.
We're talking about government transparency with Bill Leaders, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. And you can join in the conversation. Call in with a question or a comment at 800-642-1234. Bill, turning to Illinois, you've contrasted how use of force complaints against law enforcement are handled differently in our neighboring state, Illinois, than in Wisconsin. What is the difference?
Well, I only recently became aware of this. I was contacted by an individual with something called the Invisible Project, and I became aware that in Illinois there was a court ruling that declared that use of force complaints against officers needed to be made public, and they have been. And so in Illinois, you can find out automatically information about use of force reports. In fact, for Chicago and for Champaign-Urbana, the group, the Invisibility Project, has compiled a database which you can just go to, type in the name of any police officer, and you'll see the use of force complaints that have come up and some more information about the nature of those complaints and the resolution of those complaints. So it's a very public process there. Contrast that to Wisconsin, where in the situation that I've been writing about, I requested records of a disciplinary investigation. For a very minor matter involving the Madison Police Department, and was told to expect a wait of 14 months for those records to be provided. Now, they were provided to me just a week and a half ago after about 4 months of waiting, which is still too long. And I believe that the delays that are built into the process of providing these records, particularly records that have to do with disciplinary allegations or allegations of misconduct involving officers, need to be provided much more promptly.
Why can the release of government records take months or even over a year?
Well, what's happening, as I understand it, or perhaps misunderstand it, is that the Madison Police Department takes records request on a first come, first serve basis. They put you in line. So if you make a request and they've got a whole bunch more very complicated requests before yours, they're not going to get around to yours until they deal with the much more complicated requests that have been made beforehand. And so it gets pushed way, way down the line. I don't think that's an appropriate application of the law. In fact, I think the law expressly has language which suggests that records need to be provided, that simple requests should be provided quicker than complicated requests, so that they should not be treated as a, pick your number and wait in line type situation, but they should be handled as promptly as possible for each every and every request.
Going back to the 90s, you and other journalists sued the Madison Police Department and established the public's right to records of complaints against police officers. Over the decades, why can these records still be difficult to obtain despite lawsuits?
Yeah, well, that's how I got involved in this whole area of open government as a reporter. It happened because I was looking into complaints against Madison police officers, and I found that it was nearly impossible to obtain information. And so Isthmus, where I worked at the time, and the Wisconsin State Journal, and ultimately the Capital Times, we filed two lawsuits in the mid-1990s against the Madison Police Department, seeking records of complaints against police officers. One of those lawsuits dealt with complaints that were filed by members of the public against officers, and the second complaint, or the second lawsuit, I should say, was brought for records that, of complaints that were filed by officers against other officers, where one officer sees an infraction and reports it. Those generally are much more likely to lead to disciplinary action, these so-called internal complaints. But we won both those lawsuits and supposedly have secured the right of public access to complaints against police. But when recently I saw that there was a disciplinary matter that was brought up for the first 3 months of this year, and I requested the records for it, the response came back, yes, we've received your request, expect to wait 14 months. And that is what started me on trying to push back against the police department of Madison for prompter access to these records.
Just a note here, circling back to the Invisible Institute that had created databases in Chicago and Champaign-Urbana. Do you know in any way, are they at work in a policy way in Wisconsin at all, or only contained?
I think they have some interest in doing that. That's why we were contacted by a representative of the group. They're looking to see if there's journalists and advocates in Wisconsin who would like to help their efforts to make access to records like these more public.
Bill Leaders, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, our guide to new developments involving open government and access to records. And you can join the conversation. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get up to speed on issues of open records and government transparency and the latest efforts of a statewide group working to protect public access to meetings and records. Join in at any point in the discussion. Call in with a question, share a concern, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bill Leaders is president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council and stays with us. Bill, let's turn to the Madison Metropolitan School District. They have agreed to pay $18,000 to settle an open records lawsuit over failure to fulfill a document request from the conservative law firm Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. How effective is the threat of being sued and fined to ensure that records are released?
Well, this is an important case. I'm going to take a break before I answer your questions, because
sure.
I have to issue a rare correction here. We spoke about the invisibility project. It's actually called the Invisible Institute.
The Invisible
is
Institute.
The name of the group that is providing records on use of force complaints in the state of Illinois. With regard to the lawsuit that was brought by Will against the Madison School Department, it is an important case because not only did the district admit that it was wrong, it is paying the attorney fees of the institute for the costs that incurred in suing it, plus punitive damages. I think there's like some $7,500 in actual attorney fees, but they're paying a total of $18,000, which includes punitive damages because of how poorly that they responded to records requests and how long it took for them to provide records. In addition to providing the money, the Madison Metropolitan School District has agreed to clean up its act, to consult with other school districts that have better records in terms of providing access to public records. So they're going to consult with Milwaukee school officials.
That's what I found.
They've agreed to.
I just want to pause there for a moment. In that is according to the law firm that the district has these obligations from this suit. They agreed, as you mentioned, to meet with public records clerks from Milwaukee Public Schools mm-hmm. to find ways to improve how Madison is doing business with records. Does Milwaukee do things differently?
Yeah, I guess it does. I think most school districts have a better record than the Madison Metropolitan School District, which is singularly bad and has been. We had a director of communications there who has left his job under considerable duress, who was possibly or probably responsible for some or much of these delays. The school district has agreed to hire additional staff. There was a problem that it had with having insufficient staff to respond to the volume of records requests that it received. This is a very typical problem for governments at the state and local level to say, hey, we don't have enough staff to handle these requests more promptly. That's why it takes us so long. And to some extent, that's a justifiable excuse, but In other cases, it's just not. The law requires custodians to treat records requests as among the most important obligations that they have as public officials. And so if you don't have enough staff to deal with the volume of requests that you receive, you have to hire more staff. It's just a requirement of the law that you provide the resources necessary, to meet your obligations to the citizens who want records from you.
One of one of those obligations that you mentioned, hiring more staff, including an attorney. How expensive and feasible is compelling the release of records through the courts?
Well, it can be very expensive. If you sue to compel the release of records, it can very easily run to thousands of dollars, even tens of thousands of dollars. If a case gets litigated all the way to the state Supreme Court, you're talking perhaps $100,000 that could be spent in legal fees to fight the case and to try to establish better law in terms of access to records. So, you can recover under Wisconsin statutes if you prevail substantially in the lawsuit that you bring. You can recover your actual attorney fees, but there's no guarantee. And there's been a court decision that was rendered here in Wisconsin, which complicates that matter, which gives records custodians somewhat of an out if they get sued and then they promptly provide the records. There was a Wisconsin Supreme Court case that said, well, now you're no longer entitled to your fees because they gave you the records after all. So even though you spent $7,000 or $8,000 to get them to release the records, you're out that money because they did so. Now, there's an effort in the state legislature, which is supported by Will and has a couple of Democrats, along with a number of Republicans, who are the chief sponsors of this legislation, that would end that ability of local officials to avoid paying the legal fees of requesters who have to sue to get the records they're entitled to.
You mentioned the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Who is most frequently challenging delayed and denied releases of public records?
Well, Will and the former attorney for Will, Tom Kamenick, who runs what's called the Wisconsin Transparency Project, has handled a number of lawsuits involving a number of agencies, including the Madison Police Department, challenging long delays in the providing records in response to requests. So he's done a number of these lawsuits. The problem is that our law is not precise. The open records law says that custodians should provide records, quote, as soon as practicable and without delay, end quote. Well, what does that mean? Is that 10 days? Is it 10 weeks? Is it 10 months? There's never been a
Open
court ruling
to
that's drawn any bright lines.
Yes, it's open to interpretation. Bill Leader is with us, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, as we talk about open government transparency. With your voice, you can join in, call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Bill, last month, an outside law firm investigation found that a spokesperson for the Madison Metropolitan School District had bullied employees and disparaged journalists. Are records withheld more often due to uncooperative people or broader barriers?
Well, in that case, there was a very interesting development, which happens in a number of records cases where the individual who was employed by the school district and who had complaints filed against him, sued the district, sued his own employer to block release of these complaints that had been filed against him. He lost, and the records were provided, and the records showed a couple of batches of them, that there were some very serious allegations that were made. The individual has now left his employment with the Madison School District. But it was a legal fight that was engaged because our law, as a result of a Supreme Court decision a few decades ago, allows public employees to sue to block the release of certain records that concern the reputation and privacy interests. This is sometimes invoked. It always adds to delays to the process. It adds to the cost of everyone involved. It's virtually never successful. In fact, I'm not aware of any situation in which an employee has used this mechanism in the law to successfully block the release of records. It just adds delay and cost to the process, but in the end, they always lose.
Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Bill Leaders is president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. He is editor at large of the Progressive Magazine. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.